all the way around. We bless the Lord for that. And we're glad to take your Bible, if you will, tonight. We're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians. By the way, Lucas wrote that song that they were singing tonight. Am I telling it right?
Miss Sarah did most of the work on it.
Miss Sarah did the music part?
Most of it.
All right. Well, let's not give her more credit than she's due. How much? No, I'm just messing with you.
All the music.
Most of the work. That's all right. She's real good at that. Well, that was great, a great job and all that. And that was y'all's first debut. Everything going to be all right, buddy? What's the matter? You need something? Somebody mess with you? Huh? No? Huh?
He got in trouble.
Again? Oh, man, I can't hardly believe it. You sure it wasn't a frame-up job? All right. Let me get this button here turned on right quick. How about that? Is that it now? Thank you. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, you find the place you're able to stand. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And it's good to be able to be influential to other people around about you about the need for Christ. In the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6, we're going to be looking there. And I'd like you to notice, if you will, please, in about verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And put you on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, and wherewith that ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And pray, and as for me, he said, utterance that it may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. And we do thank you for it. We pray you'd save the lost and lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, is our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. And now bless, I pray, every family represented here tonight, maybe those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on a little while tonight, an old sermon on the reality of a servant of God. Now, you know, not everything calls itself a church is a church. Not everybody that calls herself a Christian is a Christian. Let me tell you right now that there are some things that you and I can see about a real child of God. One of them is you'll find out that everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we believe is going to hang on the truth. You shall know the truth, the Bible said, and the truth shall make you free. And if you come to a place in the life to where you want to argue with what God had to say in the Bible, and I'm not talking about if somebody makes an error that's very obvious that you can take a chapter, a book, and verse and correct them with it. I'm not talking about that. That ought to be corrected. But if you get to the place where there's something you heard that got on you, now you don't like it. Something's wrong with that, and that's a bad trait. You know what the trait of the reality of a real servant of God is? The Bible said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Here's what that means. That doesn't mean that if you were to insult my wife, you're probably going to make me mad. And if I can't whip you, you're probably going to get madder. But I want to tell you, I'm not talking about that. Why, shame on you if somebody messed with one of your kids or messed with your family and you didn't get upset enough about it to be able to do something about that and to be offended enough. I'm not talking about that. But if somebody's preaching the word, buddy, and it's a subject that got on you and you didn't like it, and there's a chapter, book, and verse to cover it, then that's not a good trait. That's not a good trait for you to be able to have, because a child of God, buddy, doesn't get offended at the word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that there's some things there in this chapter. There's instructions for children. And let me tell you right now, that's what I said. Sometimes it's hard to get instruction to a child, but they need instruction as well. Sometimes whenever you begin to look into it, instruction for children, sometimes there's instruction given for fathers, sometimes there's instruction given for servants, sometimes there's instruction given for masters. I got to tell you, real brethren have fed their soul on the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I'll tell you something right now is, that's why that if you're a child of God, you've got the armor of light on. And that's why if you're a child of God, you've got the armor of right in your soul. That's reading if you're a child of God, that you've got the armor of God. And let me tell you, you're going to find there's a lot of spiritual wickedness out there, all in the world that we're living in. But shame on the devil, there ain't nothing he can do to you. If so be, you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find that I believe we have some real brethren here tonight. I believe some of these young men, young ladies that are real, some of you older folks, I believe that are real. I'm just trying to tell you that it's good to be saved and to be able to know somebody that's of like faith and that believes God and believes in the Bible. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find that not only is there real brethren, but you'll find out there's a real burden that's presented here in these few verses. And you know what it is? The real burden is to be able to know the mind of God, to be able to know the will of God. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, you know, there's every perversion in the Bible and that you can mention, every perversion of the Bible that you can mention. And they all got one thing in common. They all of them hate the old King James Bible. And it's amazing to me how that Baptist folks are blinded by the one I told you that they wrote the song about, NIVKEYMOUSE. That's what I feel about the NIV. It's just absolutely a joke. I had a lady one time that was mad at me, and I know that's hard to believe, but she was mad at me over her version wasn't exactly the King James Bible. I said, well, what do you do if you come upon a passage there and your version says something different and the King James Bible says something different? Which one are you going to believe? Oh, well, I go with the King James then. Yeah, your mama. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that's here, you know, you'll find, we'll not go on about her story, but we'll just move right along. Let me tell you that if you're a real brother, a real sister, a real saint of God, you've got a real burden to be able to know the mind of God and the will of God. And let me tell you something, is that we're not just talking about head knowledge, but we're talking about knowledge that's on the inside of you that's caused you to be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, I want you to see that, if you will, please, is that there's a real business here that's mentioned. Now, if you're in business with God, and I hope you are, because if you're not in business with God, it means you're not saved. If you live your life without Christ and you die without Christ, you'll spend eternity without Christ in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched. If you're a child of God, let me tell you something. You not only have a real burden to be able to know the mind of God, but you're in real business with God. And let me tell you something else. Real business with God is moving from the heart. Did you know that? I'm not just here because I got to go to church again. Sometimes I feel like that and all of that. And I'm like the old boy that got up and decided, told his wife, he said, I just don't feel like I need to go this morning. And she finally told him, said, oh, you've got to get up. You've got to go. Can you give me one good reason why? And she said, yes, sir, hon, because number one, it's right to be able for a child of God to go to the house of God. Number two is you're the pastor. We have a weak moment every now and again. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find out that the real business of God is to be obedient unto the Lord. And you know what it is when you're real obedient unto the Lord? You're doing from the heart whatever God said for you to be able to do. And by the way, let me tell you right now, I don't mean this to be ugly, but I do mean it's going to sound ugly. But every now and again, you'll know, you'll find somebody. I was looking at some of those missionary letters back there. I've got one or two missionaries that I believe that are real McCoy, and I never see their wife on the mission field. I mean, they're in a foreign country, and all the letters out of all these years that I've been looking at, their wife's never involved in one thing. I think every now and again I'd be smart enough to be able to say, hey, honey, I know you're not going to do anything. You hate to be able to show up anyway, but stand right over there by that crowd. I'm going to get a snapshot of you so we can put it in the newsletter. I mean, you may not do nothing for God, but at least we'll look like you are. That's a little deceptive, is it not? I'm going to write him and ask him that. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that real business is not eye service, not just so you can be seen of men, get by with a little bit, but real service that comes from the heart, buddy, is that which will magnify the name of the Lord. I want to show you, if you will, please look in verse 5 of this text that we've read. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, you know who that servant is? Now, I don't want to get all bogged down and get a bunch of bomb threats and letters sent and all that business there for those of you that may be listening, by the way, of Facebook, Internet, or whatever it is we call it. But let me just tell you what that is. That's a slave. That's exactly what it is. And by the way, I don't want a slave. I don't own a slave. One time I got close thinking that it was going to be a slave. And old Brother Sam, there, he is a kid. And, of course, the girls were busy running him here. Girls were busy having him do that. Girls were busy trying to hoodwink him into whatever they were supposed to be doing. And he finally stormed out. I'm tired of being treated like a slave. That's the only time I ever remember that. You see, I want to say to you that, if you will, that God does not in the Bible, God does not condemn slaves. He condemns the misuse of a slave. Let me say it again. I don't have a slave, never have had a slave. I don't want a slave. I'm not going to have one. If you gave me a slave tonight, I'd turn him loose or her one, whichever that it was. Am I for slavery? No. No, but God has been. See what I'm telling you? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible tells him, and that's what that passage is about. He's trying to tell that person that's a slave, you're not just to be doing things around your master so you can just get by with it and all that business there, but you better be able to learn how to do the will of God from your heart and not just going through the motions, but to be real in the sight of God. I want to tell you something. That Bible said that we're to render service unto the Lord and not unto men. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out this is the kind of service here that's unappreciated, if you please. This is the kind of service here that for the most part is unwanted. This is the kind of service here that's very unpopular with men. There was a lady one time, and I was preaching along these lines, and I wanted to mention that. And when I got over there in Philemon, remember that? And whenever I got over there and was reading a passage there, it deals with the slave that Paul the Apostle had to do what he could to the master to try not to be so hard on him because he had run away. And I said, now, when I got and read that servant, I said, now, does anybody know who that servant is and all of that? She wanted to shout louder and she could raise her arm and all of that. He was a servant. I said, he sure was. A slave of a servant, if you will, please. Now, she'll never go anywhere or be anything with God. You know the reason why? She's not happy with what God's recorded. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something. If you're a real child of God, you know the Lord. And even if you were a slave, you'd want to be obedient unto the Lord and not just do service with eye service. But I'll tell you what you want to do is you want to be able to render unto God something that comes from your heart. Look in verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You see that? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me show you over there. Don't lose your text, but let me show you over there in the book of 1 Timothy. Turn quickly there. In the book of 1 Timothy. We're talking about a servant that's doing real business from the heart in the behalf of his Lord. This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, is that verse number chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Now let as many servants that are under the yoke, see that? Yes. Count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them a service because they are faithful and beloved and partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud and knowing nothing but doting about questions and strives of words, and whereof cometh envy, strife, and railings, and evils from mine, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Then he said, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. You know, we brought nothing into this world, the next passage says, and it's for certain we're not going to take anything out. If you're going to leave this world with more than you were born with, you're going to have to come to know the Lord Jesus in the free pardon of sin. You're going to have to get born into the family of God. And I'll tell you something, whenever you begin to look into it, you're going to find that your help is going to be in the Lord. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, while you turn back over there to your text, is that you're going to find out that my help does come from the Lord. And that's what verse number 10 that we started reading about tonight in that chapter. If you've got on the whole armor of God, and let me tell you, you'll be enveloped and you'll be surrounded and head and toe and back and front and all that business there. And it's good that it's like that because, friend, let me tell you, we're in a real battle tonight. Now, you know what the devil wants to do is, you know the reason why there's so many perverts in the world? They're after you and your family. You know why there's so many pedophiles in the world? They're after you and they're after your family, you see, and all that business there. We used to have a man a long time way back, and right off the start, you know, I had trouble with him because he was wanting to keep the nursery. Well, you're not going to keep the nursery laws. I'm pastoring here, and I'll tell you the reason being why. That's a woman ought to be doing that. And besides that, I need you out here where I can see you. What are you trying to see? You hope I don't see it. You'll find out. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that there's a real battle that's raging in the day and hour that we're living in. I was thinking about, you know, one time years ago, I'll leave the name off, but I was at a youth camp preaching a sermon, and I was preaching there, and we'll just call him Mike. And he had a nice-looking family, and he was committing incest with his oldest daughter. And good Baptist brethren, as we all know, they did what they could to be able to hide that and send him off down the road somewhere to where that he could take up doing what he'd been doing at another church. God help that bunch. What a sad thing that is. I tell you, somebody said, well, preacher, what do you think that you ought to do? I said, you ought to be understanding, and you ought to take and put a shirt on them that says, I'm a child molester. Right before they burn you and hang you on the courthouse square. See what I'm talking about? I want to say to you that, if you will, that we're in a real battle in the day and hour that we're living in. We battle against principalities. We battle against the devil and all the imps of hell and the powers that are derogatory against God. And the spiritual wickedness is what he called it. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness up and down the road of life. Make no mistake about that. Listen, you better gird about your loins with the truth of God. Everything ought to hang on the truth. Believe the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, if you're girt about with the truth, it won't make any difference whatever the devil hurls at you. You'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. There's going to be a lot of things hit your mind that you're going to want to extinguish and put out. You see what I'm talking about? Every now and again, there's going to be some things that are not just in your mind that will confront you face to face. And you'd better know the truth. If you know the truth shall make you free. Gird up the loins of your mind, the Bible said, 1 Peter 1:13. And if you'll do that, you'll not be so sidetracked when somebody or something comes along contrary to the mind of God. I was thinking about years ago, and I don't know how it is now, but years ago when I first started out preaching, here's the way they did, and we've got a couple of bankers that are here tonight. And I don't mention that because I need a loan or anything or because I'm behind on the one I've got. I don't have one, but there's been plenty of times I did. Makes you not want to answer the phone if you're behind on it. See what I'm talking about? That's the reason why when you pick it up, yowza balls, who it is? Oh, no, he didn't hang up. No pun intended. I mean, I know a few white people that are honkies and all of that. That I just don't imitate them real good. I want to say to you that, if you will, this loose living and liberal thinking that we're dealing with in the day hour that we're in, I tell you what it'll do is it will destroy your appreciation for God and your appetite for the words of God. You ever be sitting down eating something and then all of a sudden you just lost your appetite? Well, let me tell you, that's what the devil wants you to do with the word of the Lord. I can promise you that right now, is that in the results that's going to be this year, if you get to where you lose an appetite for the word of the Lord, you need a checkup more than just from the neck up. Yes. You need something to make you, you know, if I came to church tonight and I listened to all this singing, and we didn't touch the hem of the garment, with singing and singers that we have. And we've enjoyed, and it's a real blessing. And let me tell you right now is, I'd hate to know that I got to the place to where, hey, couldn't enjoy singing about the Lord. Couldn't enjoy praying unto the Lord. Couldn't enjoy, you getting the picture? Couldn't enjoy the preaching of the word of the Lord. See that? I used to have a fella in Louisiana, and he said, I hear y'all are going to be having some kind of a little get-together, dinner on the ground, all that stuff there. And I said, we are. He says, is there going to be any preaching? I said, well, not if the Lord comes. Do what? I said, well, if the Lord comes, we're not going to have any preaching. In fact, just tip yourself to whatever's there. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, obviously, if you were a child of God, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe it. You obviously are worried about preaching because it disturbs you. But come on anyway and see if you can get you something to drink and something to eat and all that business there. And maybe, who knows, down the road, the Lord might do something real that'll be lasting in your heart for all eternity. I don't know about you, but I was at a church. They had several people singing. And then they had, and I'm glad. I like it. I like good singing. But then after a while, the preacher said, well, I think we've had enough singing and praising God tonight. Now, singing ought to get you ready to hear the word of the Lord. And when you get through listening to good old-fashioned southern gospel singing, if it doesn't make you want to hear somebody preaching, something's wrong on one end of that spectrum or the other. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father.